419 720 WGN at Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Matt Bubala in for Steve Bertrand. Be with us on Monday, January 3rd. Chicago's Afternoon News is changing it up. Lisa Dent in with Steve Bertrand, and they will start at 2 p.m., 2 to 6 p.m. Chicago's Afternoon News, that's coming this Monday in the new year. I'm Matt Bubala here with you until 7 today. Joining us on the phone right now is award-winning journalist Kelly Bauer from Block Club Chicago, blockclubchicago.org, the hyper-local news site, as Bob Surratt likes to say when he talks to Seamus or Jen Sabella in the mornings, that reports on all the neighborhoods and breaks a lot of news that's important to everybody in Chicago, especially when it comes to Miss Kelly Bauer. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Amazing. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So one of the things that you were reporting on this week is, and I think a lot of us are starting to see this, especially as everybody's struggling right now to get tested, there are some pop-up sites described in your article as hellhole pop-up sites that don't seem to be as earnestly trying to follow all the protocols as one might like.
Yeah, so as we've seen this huge COVID surge the past couple weeks, and especially with people trying to be safer on the holidays, tons of people have been trying to get tested for COVID in Chicago. But that means that a lot of the appointments at doctor's offices and medical clinics have filled up, at-home tests have flown off the shelves, and the city and state don't really offer that many community-based testing options in Chicago anymore. So a lot of people have been turning to these pop-up places, but they've also been experiencing a lot of different issues as they've gone there.
You know, the first time through, Kelly, at least out in the burbs where I am, out at the mall, there was this little like shed that somebody was staffing all day long. You pull up, you do a swab, you hand it in, you get a text or a call within 48 hours. Did all of that, as things waned over the summer, did we pull back on those? And why were we not more prepared? I mean, it's not like everybody said, yeah, it's over with. We had a feeling this was coming. Certainly once Delta was running rampant, and then with Omicron, you would think there was time to get this better set up.
Yeah, officials had been saying for months that they expected to see a surge, especially among unvaccinated people this fall and winter. What I think they didn't anticipate was seeing a surge this significant. We're seeing some of like the biggest increases we ever have in terms of new cases, and hospitalizations and deaths have gone up too. And we know that nationwide, there's been a huge demand for testing, and a lot of places are actually having trouble now meeting that demand. So it's not just a Chicago issue, but there certainly have been a lot of people who are also raising that question of why weren't we better prepared? Why weren't there more city and state sites where people could go to and where they'll feel comfortable and trust them?
You also have been reporting, and we've been talking about here this afternoon, that CPS, you're headed back to school on Monday. They sent home all these tests. They're hoping people are turning them in. People are struggling with getting them done, and people that didn't get one with getting them at all. What is the latest you're hearing? I know that CPS is the union, at least, is polling its members about going back. Do you think things go off without a hitch on Monday?
So the CTU has asked CPS to make sure that every student has a negative COVID-19 test before classes begin Monday. And if they don't, they said that they'd like there to be a two-week, kind of break or maybe a virtual learning option. And at a news conference today, the new CEO of CPS, Pedro Martinez, kind of shot down that idea. And he said that, you know, they provided these tests to some families, and ultimately, what's going to help is people getting their kids vaccinated. And it's not just something where they can rely on testing. So he is still firm that in-class learning is going to resume on Monday. And they're only going to do virtual learning in cases where there's a significant number of cases in a classroom or at a school and where the community is at risk from that.
I have to say, I've been somewhat surprised to hear about this New Year's Eve celebration we're going to have with this incredibly long and widespread fireworks show, which sounds like, oh, that's such a great idea to still have something, but it'll be a little more spread out. But with all of the issues with violence within the city, as well as this crazy surge, was that something that was just planned pretty far long ago, and now it's like too late for them to say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this?
So we've been trying to find out a little bit more about how this was planned and organized and everything, but the mayor's office actually just announced it earlier this week. It was not something that they had really talked about before. Mayor Lightfoot and Dr. Allison Arwady, the city health commissioner, were asked about it yesterday, you know, just like, does this bring up safety concerns downtown, or should we be worried about people taking the CTA and people gathering downtown and along the lakefront to watch this show. And Mayor Lightfoot said she doesn't want to be a mom. She doesn't want to tell people what they can and cannot do. But what she is urging is for people to make the decision that is safest for them. So if you feel sick, stay home. Get tested. Make sure you're vaccinated and boosted. She said that ultimately it's going to be on people to decide what they do. She herself, she said, plans on staying home. And Dr. Arwady also kind of defended it, saying, you know, people are going to gather regardless of what they do. That's what they've seen during the holidays. And at least with this option, it's outside where there's less of a risk for spread.
And I get that. Boy, there's two sides to everything, though. First of all, with the mayor saying, I'm not going to be everybody's mom. Well, there's been a lot of decisions made where we're forcing people not to go to restaurants or certain things over the last 18 months. I mean, there was a lot of time that there was some, hey, we have to do this for the good of everybody. I'm sorry you don't get to choose. Now to say, oh, I'm not going to be everybody's mom, that sounds a little tough. And I get that it's outdoors and we don't see the spread. But like you said, if everybody's taking the L down there, I'm guessing those aren't the best ventilated machines necessarily as you're traveling down in the L and things like that and people congregating together. We haven't seen, you know, we've had so many. I certainly haven't heard any stories about a super spreader event, so I'm not really worried about that. But I think that it doesn't help when we say, oh, do this, do that, but don't do this and don't do that. It seems like in the last week, between the CDC cutting it down to 5 days and everything else we're hearing, it seems like a lot of, listen, we want you to be safe. On the other hand, we want you to be able to do things. On the other hand, we don't want the economy to collapse again. So, and I just worry that that's going to contribute to more of just a, you know, wearing down of people. Like, what rules do we have to follow or not here?
Yeah, I think that there has been a lot of confusion about that. And I've seen and heard a lot of criticism from people who are trying to be safe and who are very worried about this COVID surge. And they're wondering, why now are we shortening the isolation timeline? Why are we waiting until Monday to implement, like, businesses checking people's vaccine cards? Again and again, officials locally, nationally have said that they're following the science and they're trying to do what makes sense, what's best. Even today, Dr. Arwady was talking about those shortened quarantine periods and said what they found is just there's really very little risk that you can spread COVID-19 after 5 days or especially after 7 days, and that's why they shorten the isolation period. But, you know, for a lot of people, I think that they just want a clear message. You know, people just want to know, like, should I stay home or do I go out to this fireworks display? Why is it confusing?
And I would think, quite honestly, COVID aside, more people would be a little leery about it just because of weather, because it's not great in Chicago to hang out outside that much at midnight, but also just all the issues that have happened downtown. It'll be very interesting to see how much of a turnout the city really can get for something like this. Have you heard what kind of numbers they're expecting and what kind of policing they're hoping to have watching everything?
We haven't heard estimates about crowd numbers. Mayor Lightfoot did say, you know, they purposefully spread this out. It takes place across a mile and a half. That way they could make sure there wouldn't be massive crowds gathering and everything. And we do know that there's going to be certain roads closed, bridges raised, officers in the area and everything. Just that way there are those extra safety precautions. Of course, even that in itself has been controversial because, you know, Chicagoans are not fans of raising the bridges as we've seen over the past few years.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that does play out.
You can subscribe to the best local journalism in town at blockclubchicago.org. It's subscription. It's not advertiser supported. It's subscription supported. So it means a lot when you guys subscribe to blockclubchicago.org and you'll get the great stories from our Kelly Bauer. Thank you so much for taking the time and Happy New Year, Kelly.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
You bet. We'll talk to you in 2022.